Welcome to a special edition of Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and today we continue our dramatized reading of Heaven, How I Got Here, the story of the thief on the cross. And if you've missed any of the series, or you'd like to go back and listen again, you can do that by coming online to our website, openthebible.org.uk. Don't forget, you can also find our broadcasts as a podcast on your favorite podcast site. Just search for Open the Bible UK and subscribe to receive regular updates. And Colin, we start today by looking at the hatred the thief had towards God, and then he turns round and puts his faith in Jesus. And he experiences that love of Jesus, but his suffering wasn't over.
No, and in fact, for anyone who was crucified, pain actually got worse as time went on. And so here, this man would have been in excruciating pain, a great agony of body and of soul, as someone who trusted in Jesus. And I think that speaks to us very powerfully. You know, you may be listening today and saying, well, I couldn't possibly have faith because I have pain, I have disappointment, I have hurt in my life. Well, Jesus Christ is a savior for people who suffer. And that's what we're going to look at today.
We see that in chapter 7 of Heaven, How I Got Here. It's entitled Agony. Here's Stephen Baldwin.
Chapter 7, Agony. 2:59 p.m. Trusting Jesus is never a passport to a pain-free life. That's not his promise. Heaven is. Forgiveness is. The strength to bear up under all that you suffer is what he promises and what he gives. Some folks have the idea that if you trust in Jesus, he will take the pain out of your life. He certainly didn't do that for me. Pain shot through the nerves of my body as much after I trusted in Jesus as it did before. With every hour that passed, my pain increased as the wounds from the nails in my hands and my feet widened under the weight of my body. Fever raged. Dehydration followed. My whole body was burning up. It was the same for Jesus, and that is why he cried out, "I thirst." Despite their barbarity, the Roman soldiers sometimes offered a mild sedative to their victims before crucifixion. Earlier in the morning, they had done this for Jesus, offering him wine mixed with gall. Jesus refused the sedative. Any compassionate person would say to him, "Drink, take the sedative, dull your senses to the horrors you are about to endure." But he did not take it. Why? At the time, I despised him for this and counted him a fool. But when I asked him to remember me, I was so glad that his senses were not dulled, drugged, or drowsy. Christ was fully conscious, and that meant he was ready and able to save me, to pray for his enemies, and reach out in love to his mother. Becoming a man meant that Jesus' body had a central nervous system just like yours and mine. So the physical agony of crucifixion was the same for Jesus as it was for me. But there was more to his pain than the physical agony. What Jesus endured went far beyond what I experienced that day. When Christ became our sin bearer, he was alone in the darkness. The guilt and stench of our sin was on him as he bore the judgment that we deserved. Jesus had always enjoyed the love of his Father, but now that blessing had been taken away. He couldn't feel the Father's approval. He couldn't reach his comfort. At his hour of greatest need, Jesus was alone. Separated from his Father, rejected by his own people, abandoned by his disciples. He was stretched out on a pole suspended between heaven and earth, and rejected by both. From the deepest darkness, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Nothing that I had endured came close to what it meant for him to be forsaken by his Father. And there's more. Jesus experienced hell on the cross. Some people think that hell is a myth, but I tell you that hell is as real as the cross. And it's more than just a way of describing something really bad, much more. Hell has six dimensions, and Jesus experienced all of them on the cross. He was in conscious suffering. He was in blackest darkness. He was surrounded by demonic powers. He was bearing sin. He was under judgment. He was separated from the knowledge of the love of God. That is hell. I endured the pains of crucifixion, but I did not experience the agonies of hell. Jesus endured them for me, so that I would never have to know what they are like. The more I think about this, the more staggering it gets. Jesus suffered, and hearing him cry out in agony had a profound effect on me. From childhood, I had been told that God's law was given to show us our sins. That's true. But I have to tell you that the clearest view I ever got of the ugliness of my sin was not in reading the Ten Commandments, but in being near to Jesus in that awful darkness on the cross. I began to see that if my sins caused him so much suffering, they must be very great indeed. I learned to hate my sins at the cross. The rebellion that once tasted sweet, the covetous heart that once drove me forward, my hatred and unbelief toward God, and my self-willed desire all seemed ugly and repulsive to me as I saw what they had done to Jesus. His cry of anguish tore me apart. If he was given up for my sins, what sin would I not give up for him? That took hold of me. My greatest desire was to be done with any and every sin that had ever gained a foothold in my life. I found myself longing to be holy, to be filled with the love that I had seen in Jesus' eyes, and to live a life that would please him. I only had a few hours left for that. I hope you have much longer.
What a statement from the thief on the cross, the suffering and agony that he experienced on the cross.
Yeah, and I want to say to the person today who experiences pain, you've been through loss, you find yourself in great darkness. You know, Jesus Christ, the Savior who suffered on the cross, really is the Savior for you. He knows what it is to suffer, and a suffering world needs a suffering Savior. And the Savior who has come into the world is the person who is able to come alongside you in the pain that you experience, and he's able to help you stand up under it. This is what the thief experienced. It was not a passport to a pain-free life. He was in agony, but he was trusting Jesus Christ in that agony. And I think that's the path for every person who suffers. We want to walk it with the suffering Savior.
Thank you, Colin. That is a good word. The thief was in agony, but then he passed through into triumph. That's the title of chapter 8, and we'll listen to that after this.
The story of the thief on the cross, to me, is the best story for opening up an understanding of God's marvellous grace. I think a lot of people have the idea at the back of their minds that if a person was to get into heaven, it would be by living a good enough life. And the story of the thief on the cross just blows that out of the water. It really does. I mean, here's a person who obviously had not lived a good life and obviously was not at a point where they could turn over a new leaf, make a new beginning and do better and so forth. He's right at the end of his life. And yet Jesus says quite clearly to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So if the thief on the cross is entering into the joy of God's immediate presence, then it's not on the basis that he lived a good enough life. And that opens up the question, well, then how does he get in? And the answer to that, of course, is the grace of God that comes to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus was on the cross. That's what he offers to us, the grace of his forgiveness and his marvelous salvation. But it's the story of the thief on the cross that I found opens people's minds to begin to think about grace.
As well as the book, Heaven, How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross, there will shortly be released a new film called Heaven, How I Got Here, An Evening with the Thief on the Cross. And that's the actor Stephen Baldwin performing a one-man stage show based on the book. And you can see that all this Easter week by going to our website, openthebible.org.uk/heaven. Back to our dramatised reading of the book now. Here's Stephen Baldwin with Chapter 8, Triumph.
Chapter 8, Triumph, 3 p.m. His voice pierced the silence like the blast of a trumpet. "It is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." No one ever died like this. Have you ever heard of someone whose last words were spoken with a loud voice? When a man dies, his voice becomes weaker and weaker until it is no more than a whisper. And then he is gone. Nobody shouts at the moment of his own death, but Jesus did. Christ entered into death not in defeat, but in triumph. He was in complete control. He accomplished everything he had come to do and gave himself into death. Then all hell broke loose. The earth beneath me shook, causing the beam on which I was suspended to lurch violently. The shock was agonizing. The crowd, whose jeering had been quieted by the darkness, now erupted in panic and confusion. People screamed as the tremors ripped through the city. Cracks began to open in the ground. Was this the end? I knew my time had almost run out. But had humanity's time run out too? We had just crucified God's Son. God's justice had to fall. I closed my eyes and I held my breath, bracing myself against whatever came next. The commander who was responsible for overseeing our executions looked up at Jesus' lifeless body and said, "Surely this was the Son of God." The soldiers, who a few hours before had cast lots for Jesus' robe, now looked at each other in fear and terror. What have we done? For me, there was a strange comfort. The man who had carried out my execution now shared my faith. In those surreal moments after the quake, the crowd dispersed into the shadows. They were frightened. They were confused what had just happened. Then, as suddenly as the darkness had descended on us hours before, it lifted. The lifeless body of Jesus hung in silence a few feet away from me, and having staked everything on him, I now felt completely alone. I thought I would be the first to die and that he would send me ahead of him. It never occurred to me that he would die first. Right before Jesus died, he said, "It is finished." When was I ever able to say that? My life was a tangle of loose ends. Nothing was complete. My mother poured all her energy into the pursuit of a godly life. But for all of her relentless effort, the feeling of incompleteness haunted her. She found it hard to rest because she always felt there was more to do, more that was required. Nothing was ever enough. She was right in saying that there is no rest for the wicked. I knew that to be true. But as far as I could see, there isn't much rest for people who try to be righteous either. It is finished. Now there's something that neither I nor my mother could ever have said. But Jesus said it with a shout of triumph. The reason his voice was so strong at the moment of his death was that Jesus did not slide into death as a victim. He marched into death as a conquering warrior. What he had come to do was done, but what was finished? What had he accomplished? Clearly, Jesus' life on earth was finished. As soon as he had said these words, Jesus gave his spirit into the hands of the Father, and he died. That his life had been a good one was obvious to me. Even back then on the cross, I knew that he was a righteous man and that he was suffering unjustly. That was why I said, "This man has done nothing wrong." Being with him in heaven, I now see that Jesus did everything that God calls you and me to do on earth, and kept all of the commandments. He loved God with all his heart and loved his neighbor as himself. He did this completely, consistently, and without even a shadow of compromise. His life was an unbroken stream of love and faithfulness, joyfully offered to God. I was nowhere near that target. Thieves love themselves more than their neighbors. That is why they break in and steal. And as for loving God, I didn't know the first thing about love. That's why on the last day of my life, I began to fear God. I knew that I had not kept his commandments. I knew that I was not righteous, not even close. Where do you go from there? You haven't done what God calls you to do. Your best efforts have come up short. You have failed to keep his Ten Commandments, and you can't relive the past. This was painfully obvious to me as I hung on the cross. With every hour that passed, I was being pressed ever closer to my exit from this world, and I had no way of pulling back. But here's what I discovered. To my great joy, the Son of God became a man. live the life that I had failed to live. He finished what I had barely started. Jesus was and is everything God had called me to be. When I trusted Jesus, God made me one with Him. All that was mine, God counted as His, and all that was His, God counted as mine. It was as if my sin-spattered soul was draped in the purity of the perfect life of Jesus, so that I could stand before God with the confidence to which Jesus Himself would be entitled. If it had not been for Jesus, I would still be locked in an endless conflict with God. I would still be angry with Him. I would still feel that He owed me a better life and a better eternity. My anger and rebellion against God would have grown stronger and more futile in eternity. I would still be standing with my little sword, trying to take on the Almighty. It's a ridiculous picture, isn't it? And it's clearer to me than ever before that my fight with God is a fight that I could never win. You don't have to live one more minute of your life locked in conflict with God either. You can put down your sword today. You can rest from this battle. This is a war you could never win. Now you don't have to. Jesus laid down His life so you could know real peace with God for all of eternity.
You've been listening to a special edition of Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a dramatic reading of the book Heaven, How I Got Here, the Story of the Thief on the Cross, read by actor Stephen Baldwin. And Colin, that's such a vivid and really humorous picture of us trying to hold up our little swords and fighting against the Almighty.
That is a fight that no one can ever win. But what a marvelous thing when God is your friend, when you're at peace with Him, when you've been reconciled to Him. That's what Jesus Christ came into the world to bring to us.
And because He's already conquered sin and death, there's really nothing more that we can do.
Well, these words, "it is finished," must be the most marvelous words that have ever been spoken. I mean, what comes close to this? He really has done everything that is needed to bring not only the thief into heaven, but everyone who will put their trust in Him. You know, who else could ever say at the end of their life, truly, "it is finished"? Who else could ever say, "I've completed everything that God the Father gave me to do"? We haven't done that. I haven't done that. I have to put my trust in a person who has done that. And there's only one. That's Jesus. He says it is finished. He's done everything that is needed. He's fulfilled all of the commandments of God. He has borne all of the penalty of sin. We put our trust in Him, and He's the one who's able to bring us into heaven because He's done what we've not.
It's an incredible promise that the thief grasped right at the end of his life. But of course, we don't have to wait until the end of our lives. Now is the time to act.
Don't wait for the last moment. You've got to trust Jesus Christ at the first opportunity. Actually, that's what the thief did. Yeah. And why should you not do that as well? Here's good news that is offered to you. Here is life, forgiveness, peace with God that Jesus Christ offers to all who will turn to Him in faith and repentance as the thief on the cross did.
Well, as we said earlier, not only have we been listening to dramatized reading of the book Heaven, How I Got Here, but you can now also see the story made into a film. That's also with actor Stephen Baldwin as he performs a one-man stage show based on the book. And that film is available all this week, Easter week, by going to our website, openthebible.org.uk, and then entering /heaven. Don't forget, if you've missed any of the series, or if you want to go back and listen again, you can do that also on our website. Go to openthebible.org.uk. There you can hear any of this series, or indeed any of our previously broadcast series that have gone out on the radio. You can also find us as a podcast. Go to your favourite podcast site, search for Open the Bible UK, and subscribe to receive regular updates. For Open the Bible and Pastor Colin Smith, I'm David Pick, and I hope you'll join us again next time for the final part of Heaven, How I Got Here, the story of the thief on the cross, chapter 8, Safety. The thief on the cross definitely did not live a good life. Find out what happened to him in the next part of our series, Heaven, How I Got Here. That's Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith.